We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. I'm your host, D-Bake. Joining with me today is UFC newcomer Jared Vandera. How's it going, Jared?
It's going all right. Just, you know, getting here at work, kind of in my soon-to-be locker room whenever I sit down and get it done.
That's good to know. As you know, he just joined the UFC a couple of months ago. He was on Dana White Contender Series, had a good showing on there, and then now he's booked to fight next month against Justin Tapa. How are you getting ready for that fight?
A lot. I'm taking where do I begin? So after my last fight, I did not pan out as planned. I don't know, a mental block. My grappling just decided to like see other people that night, and it clearly showed in my last fight. I'm upset with myself that I didn't do anything. I kept him in my half guard and let him beat me up, and then by the second round, like, I gave up my half guard, let him, you know, control, and was eventually able to get a TKO. I was just upset that I used no grappling whatsoever, and I played in my head that, oh, he's so much better than me, that when we actually competed, his ground did so much better than what I actually brought to the table, and I know I could bring a lot more to that. So with that being said, I've been trying to make sure that if I ever get to the ground again, that I don't freeze or hesitate to act upon it. I've been working both the mental and physical side of that rigorously. My wrestling coach has been beating me like a drumstick and making sure that that doesn't happen again. He takes some fault. He feels like I do think that he feels like it's his fault. And I've been working with him maybe 4 weeks prior to my last fight. Like, we ran, bumped into each other, talked a few times. But, and then he jumped on my fight like 3-4 weeks out and did the best he could. And, you know, I don't blame him for anything. You know, you jumped into this last minute. Give me 1 second.
No, you're good.
Yeah, excuse me. He jumped into it last minute, and he did what he couldn't have done, and you know, I'm very grateful of that. But you know, this time around, he has a full camp to work with me, and I think it's definitely going to pay. It's going to show in the next fight. Yeah, no. So try and make sure that, you know, I don't get, you know, but
oh my God, the UFC.
I think that played a big factor into it. I think if I had a fight when I originally intended to, considering it was such short notice fight, it would have been easier for me mentally. But because it got drawn out so long, I was able to get into my own head, and I think that played a bigger factor into it than I imagined.
Yeah, and I kind of think that because it happened to you early on, that kind of works out better for you because you can use that and adjust from it and then kind of use that with your next fight, see what you did wrong, and then see what you have to deal with Justin Tapa, and then just game plan from there. And then just like you said, now you have a full fight camp with him in your corner rather than just the last couple weeks before your fight.
Exactly. And you know, having someone there that's kind of like learning the ropes, like learning the ropes of the fight game and kind of learning how you work all at the same time is a lot of pressure on the coach himself. So I do think that, you know, he took a lot to really like try to put a lot of effort in a short amount of time. And now that he has a lot more time, he's really dictating and picking up the pace on that end.
Yeah. So I want to move a little bit away from that because, and just to let everybody know, he'll be fighting next month against Justin Taffa. I believe it's May 21st or 2nd. I believe it is 22nd. So definitely don't miss that one. He's going to get back in the win column for that one, I think. But I just want to get a little bit to get to know you, like from the ground up. How was life like growing up, and then how were you introduced to MMA?
Life growing up was a shit show at best. Family drama. I was in between homes a lot of times. I would either live with my mom, my grandparents. There was even one point where a foster care system almost took over because of my mom's stupidity at the time. Eventually, you know, she cleaned up her act a bit, got back on the straight and narrow. She took me back in, I think, start around middle school, high school times. In high school, I wrestled since sophomore year to senior year. And that's kind of where I got the basis for fighting. It's like, I had a couple injuries at the end of the season. I was being scouted out, but several injuries that kind of took my opportunities for wrestling and the college levels away from me. And I was like, damn, you know, where do I go from here? Then I joined an MMA gym, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's go punch and kick people. And I gravitated quickly to the Muay Thai aspect of it just because I grew up watching Bloodsport, Kickboxer. I was like, oh shit, I could be the next Van Damme up in here. my Muay Thai coach looked at my other two coaches and pointed at them because they were both D1 wrestlers. One of them was like a NCAA finalist. He looked at him and he goes, you see those two fuckers? They're good fighters, but they don't know how to fucking kick to save their life. And I do not want another wrestler that can't throw a kick. So in the first week, that's all he had me do. I didn't know how to throw a punch, but by the end of the week, I knew how to fucking kick. And that plays dividends even now.
Oh, I bet. Did you have any idols when you were getting into like training? Or were you just like, oh, let me try this? This seems like it's going to be cool.
I wouldn't say I had any idols. It wasn't the, oh, this is cool. It was like, oh, this is something I would want to do. Boxing always was like, I grew up in a very poor neighborhood, so everyone wanted a box. All I knew, and like, I grew up in a heavily Mexican community where boxing was the thing. But I always loved kickboxing, Muay Thai. I even enjoyed Taekwondo back in the day where I understood how not as effective as it is compared to Muay Thai. So I was the kicking aspect of it. And so when I started seeing that, I'm like, oh, they're punching, kicking. Oh, shit, a double leg. Oh, we can punch on the ground. I liked it. It was kind of a combination of just like, oh, all right, this is something that I could really get behind. And, you know, I always never could find a qualified kickboxing or more. So I found an MMA gym that kind of had everything. It wasn't that I gave it, it was a give and take, but it was just something that I was like, I'm drawing myself to this and I do like.
Do you think that having that wrestling background kind of helped you with having a more polished game after you learned the Muay Thai and kickboxing, or do you think it kind of hurt you?
I would say it's indifferent, just because I wouldn't say it didn't help me, but it didn't hinder me either. In my first fight, I stuck to the stand-up because the promotion I was fighting for, it was kind of on the rinky-dink side and just kept on screwing everything up. So I had to make it like exciting as possible, but I was able to get like one or two takedowns, which definitely sealed in the fight. But for the most part, basically punches and kicks that really kind of set me up for that win. Mentally aspect of it, going into that fight, I was really nervous. But my wrestling coach happened to be the EMT for that fight. And seeing him, because he was a dick in wrestling, he was always that guy that was always on my ass. And the team's cardio. So when I saw him, he looked at me, he was like, you better fucking win. I'm like, oh, yeah, now I have to win. I'm scared of you still. I went in there and, you know, I won. That was maybe the part of my wrestling that literally came into my first fight. And then from there, you know, my wrestling actually didn't play a massive part into my career. I would always get my takedowns, but it wasn't a huge part of my game plan.
At what moment did you realize that you wanted to do this for a living?
It was kind of one of those moments where I, like, in high school, I was like, you know what, fuck it. You know, I could go the traditional route of everything else. I was eventually able to get accepted to CBU, and I wanted that. I didn't want to go to the university or college. I wanted to go get my wrestling better for MMA. And that, like, I was like, I'm trying to get that better at high level quality, so I could bring that back to my fighting. And it was just kind of like right when I decided to start fighting, I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's go all in. Like being a coach now and owning a gym, I hear all these people like, oh, how did you get to where you are? What did you do? What sacrifices you made? And it's like, I decided early on, I have a bunch of students that are like, oh, I'm going to make it. Then they're like, oh, I can't make it to class because I have school. I can't make it to class because my other job, like my other five jobs, because I want to make money. You immediately see how all the things that can make you good is just constantly and consistently training, finding people to elevate you. And the moment you kind of lose that consistency, it becomes harder and harder and more get to your goal.
How do you balance both being a coach or like being a trainer and then training yourself for her fights?
A lot of stress. That's how you balance it out, with a lot of stress. It's fucking horrible. That's how I do it. I'm constantly stressing out, because it you think it's like a lot of people. I have a lot of friends that are, you know, but a lot of them do house businesses and stuff like that where they don't have a storefront. Now, I have a business that doesn't have a storefront, and I have some business with a storefront. They are both exhausting in their own ways. But I have all my friends that don't have storefronts telling me that, oh, it's not that bad. I have a business, you have a business. I'm like, it's fucking different with the storefront. It's like, there's things like liabilities of other people. And I realize that some of my clients, kind of dumb. So you're like, oh, this is why we have insurance. You're going to hurt yourself walking outside. That's how dumb you are. And so I got to deal with that. And then I also have to go train hard, anywhere from 2 to 6 hours a day. Well, on top of that, I have a kid. I have another one on the way. And, you know, you can only be such a good parent in like 2.5 hours that I have to be a parent, and I don't want to like shake my child, but shit, like just be like, oh, I'm playing with my kid, oh, I'm disciplining my kid, and it's a lot coming at you all at once, and you're just like, fuck. I rely on a lot of energy drinks. They're horrible for me, but right now in fight camp, I sacrificed alcohol, fast food, all my little terrible coping mechanisms to make it through without losing my hair, which is slowly happening.
I was just about to ask you, how do you balance fighting time and then spend time with your family?
Honestly, one, it helps, like, at the gym, my fiance is my business partner, all right?
Okay.
A lot of people are like, oh, that's a terrible idea. And it could be, but right now, it's not. It's working very well for me because, one, myself, I personally, I'm horrible at the business side of it. Like, she runs the paperwork. She makes sure people are paying, because if it was me, I'd be like, hey, keep on coming in. I haven't paid in a year. You should do that. She's on top of it. She makes sure that, you know, money is being brought to the gym so we don't lose our house or the business. So, I mean, I needed her to be that part, because coaching does help me retain some of the stuff that I'm being taught, because I like to kind of re-show what I'm being taught, that, like, the regurgitation.
Exactly, yeah.
Helps me mentally cope or mentally work out things. So when I'm under pressure, I can cope with the situation in the fight, because I've also had to teach it and do it myself.
How does she balance helping you out with the business and then doing her own profession? Doesn't she have a profession in herself that she does?
She balances it out by complaining a lot. Like, you know, like an average fiance would. So when we got the space, so we opened up a part. So this used to be a bank.
Okay.
So with that being said, that I have a giant vault in my building. So, she converted that into a barbershop. And she's a licensed cosmetologist and barber. So she was like, I could run my own business and cut hair here, do all that jazz. So she has a little separate area where she, because it's her own business, that she could spend time and schedule. And due to the fact that she is pregnant, like five, six months, that she's, you know, down the hours. And, like, we don't have to really need, like, we don't need her working as much between me. Business picking up, that we're like, hey, you know, and her being able to relax and stay, you know, easier. So when I get home together, I'm not worried about her finding her at the gym, cutting someone's hair. I could just go home. She's there. My daughter's there. And, you know, we just hang out, you know, cook lunch, do a thing, and then come here to go to work. And we literally are together 24/7 almost.
How did it feel to be on the Dana White Contender Series, and then how did it feel to get that UFC contract?
Oh, it was interesting. It is different even from the Contender Series to being actually a UFC fighter, like just kind of the respect and how they treat you. Like they no one treated me less of like I don't belong there type of thing. But there was that level of you're almost there, and they're a little bit harder on us on the Contender Series. When we're in UFC, they're a little bit more liberal on certain things. They're like, yeah, you know, follow these rules, you good. Whereas the Contender Series is like dot 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 dot, like damn, like this is like. But it's one of those things where once I became a certified UFC fighter, you're like, oh, I see why now you guys do that. And, you know, like even like seeing the people there, I was like, you know, I run into UFC fighters all the time. I like, even training, you run into them. And, you know, you look at some of them and you're just like, oh, all right, da da da. Now it kind of changes once they're there. They're like, yeah, motherfucker, look at me. I'm in the UFC. And it's weird. Like, that was kind of one of the weird, surreal things. I was just like, oh, shit, these motherfuckers are all in the UFC. And I was just kind of taken back by that. Just, you know, that was one of those things that got sunk in my head. I'm just like, oh, like I was still like processing it. I was like, motherfucker, I hate it. Like, damn.
Yeah, like I hear a lot of stories that were just like you said, where the contender series was like kind of like serious, like this, but once you get into it, then they're like, okay, if you can make it here, then we won't be as serious because you've made it to this point, so we can trust you with it. One of my last two questions I have, I don't want to take too much of your time, but how, like, for training, do you prefer like a full camp, or are you okay with like the way they're going now, where a lot of guys are taking short fight notices on maybe like 3-4 weeks notice and doing like 1 month layoffs and then get right back into it?
I am perfectly fine with a short, like, my 98% of my career was off of 4 weeks. Or I love fighting short. So much more convenient for me. I like, one of my biggest things, like I said, I get into my head. I'm like, oh shit, like, this guy's gonna do that, and that I overthink so much where it's like, oh, this, it becomes a difficult situation, and it's hard. It's hard for me. Like, I've been really working on this because it is something that I don't want 2-3 fights in the UFC that short and come bite me in the ass and they cut me. I'm like, oh, I fucked up badly here. Let's not let my mental game be an issue to my future endeavors. So, but I've always liked short notice fights. I've taken fights on 24-hour notice, and oh, those are the best. Oh my god. Someone's like, hey, you want to fight tomorrow? Be there. I'd be there. And yeah, what I do.
What advice would you give fighters who are thinking of turning pro?
The biggest advice that I was given, and, you know, it kind of does vary based off the weight class, because I was a light heavy / heavyweight. It was kind of an easier thought process, but it's something that, when I turned pro, it was something that I immediately thought of and was immediately told up, is when you turn pro, are you willing to fight the number one guy in the world? I was like, regardless of what promotion you think is better, if you think 1FC is better than UFC or PFL is better than Bellator, he goes, whoever you think is the top dog in your division, if you're not willing to fight him, you're not ready to go pro.
If they asked you to take a fight in a light heavyweight, would you do it? Or no. Do you fear you feel a lot more comfortable in heavyweight?
No. It's just not a chance in hell that I would make it to. I'm like, right now, and I have been dieting for the last 6 weeks. I've been dieting for the last 6 weeks. I'm still 2-8.
Yeah. So that's why you moved to heavyweight, because I know you just said that you're both. Yeah.
So between from six, or like when I was 16 years old, I went from 170 to like 210, and then from like 15, 16 or whatever, to about 22 to 23, I was fluctuating between 189, that's usually when the peak of wrestling season, where my weight was just on point, to about 210, 220. Like, I really, there have been very few times I got over that weight, but I was a light heavyweight. And then I was working a lot of early morning jobs, And from like 22 to 24, something went from, oh, you're a light heavyweight to full on fucking heavyweight. Like, I was like, dude, I'm 240, 250. I'm getting further away from that. I'm like, I'm getting further and further away from light heavyweight. That I'm like, all right, fine. And I just kind of accepted that. And some of it, like 5 fights in, I had terrible dieting and all that stuff. I never, I two or three of the fights, I was actually homeless in my pro career. I'm still fighting. I'm still, still beating some ass. So I was able to like scrounge up some change, make things happen for myself, and round, and then I started having to start cut weight around my sixth pro fight, because when my girlfriend at the time was pregnant, that's when we had our first born. I shot the fuck up. I was about 298 was the heaviest I saw on the scale. So that's the max number I go at, but I might peaked and hit over 300, but ignorance is bliss, so I lied to myself. I'm like, you didn't make it that big. And then I cut back down to 265 for a while. And then I just dieting was just shit, shit, shit. It'd be good for a week, bad for a week, because eating was just one of my coping mechanisms. Plus, I was working a shit ton of hours. I was working at a bar, I was working at a gym, plus being a new father. There was my average sleep schedule was about 2 to 3 hours.
When you're done with a fight, and what do you want to be known for with your career?
Honestly, that's open for people. Because I know certain aspects are going to draw certain people. I know that it's going to open a lot of doors, because I know that a lot of people like me because I'm actually really nerdy. A lot of people like me because I have a pentagram or a pentacle, whatever like viewpoints you believe in, on my inverted one on my left side. Draws in some attention. So, and then you got your just fans. They're like, they love the sport. They for my striking. They might like my grappling or. So I think it's going to just be very what draws your towards.
My last question for you before we get going, what are some of your hobbies that you like to do outside of fighting, like away from the gym?
Like I said, I'm a nerd, and I'm not joking about that. So recently, I've been on my Gundam kick. I bought the manga.
Nice.
Origins, finished reading that one recently. I've been building a bunch of Gunpla, which are Gundam figurines that stand for
Yeah.
like that big. I've been building a bunch of those. I'm working on finishing my 100% completion rate on Cyberpunk 7. I actually beat technically beat him 3 times. Let's see what other dumb things am I doing in my nerdier side. Yeah, those are just some of the things that I have. Oh, I'm rewatching High School D&D. Yeah, I'm an otaku. Yeah, like I'm a I don't do like not a big Star Wars and Star Trek fan. I'm more of the anime nerd side slash gamer.
Yeah, I find myself like I like the anime a little bit. Like I'm big into superhero. I'm a superhero fan, but actually, my within the superhero realm, my favorite are the anime versions of it on DC. I think they do like the best job, and then the fact that their anime makes it even better. Do you watch any of them at all?
No, I like the comics that I like I grew up kind of, like I had that like so I grew up in a weird religious family. That could go into a whole conversation itself. But because of the weird viewpoints and stuff that, like, I always deemed, like, I always told Japanese animation was basically devil's work and, you know, kind of like Bobby Boucher's mother in Waterboy.
Yes.
Girl is the devil. That was kind of like some of my family. Like, anime is the devil. So I had that, but then on the flip side, like, these were the people that got me into Deadpool and all the other anime, Spawn and all this stuff. And I'm like, Spawn's literally a fucking agent of hell. Like, he, like, okay. Like, oh, it's different. I'm like, all right, whatever. And so, like, there are some, like, superheroes I do love. I will lean more towards Marvel over DC. Yeah. Because I will start a fight right here with anyone that the Punisher will kick Batman's ass. But yeah, no. I was a big Deadpool fan before he blew up. I had a shit ton of Carnage and Venom comic books when I was younger. I still have a good sized cray of them, but. Like, I just remember watching Gundam Seed, or not Gundam Seed, Gundam Wing,
okay.
Dragon Ball Z, and Yu Yu Hakusho, Sailor Moon, you know. Like, I was watching these, like, early on, and I remember my mom's ex-husband having, like, turned on some anime, or, like, one of his relatives having anime. When I was only like 3 or 4, when it wasn't still big in the United States, that hooked me. And I've always been a fan of anime, and then just trying to watch it throughout my years, and just certain people made it very difficult because, you know, like I said, anime was the devil in their eyes. And nowadays, my favorite anime is, you know, High School D&D, which is basically a boy basically joining a demon cult. Not a demon cult, but becoming a demon, and his leader happens to be one of the heads of hell. So,
yeah, my buddy is getting me to watch One Punch Man.
It, on the premise, it seems very boring.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, this guy hits one person and it's done. But I've only seen season one, but I do like how they build the drive to, like, he dreams about having a challenge. He longs for it versus, you know, he, like, overmakes this, like the struggle there, that he doesn't have a physical struggle like most anime characters do. He has a mental struggle where
yes.
He is the best, and he's longing for that challenge. He's not like, oh, not to win, but he's just longing for the ability to have that dogfight that he earned for, that where he's like kind of have his foot on, have his heel on the back of the wall type of, like, oh shit type of thing. And so I do think that they played the story off pretty well.
Yeah, he's getting me into that. There's a couple others that he wants me to watch, but I, of what I've seen from what he showed me, like, it's appearing to me like I didn't think I was going to get into it before, but now I feel like, oh, this looks pretty good. And just the premise of each show, it's not just, oh, I'm just going to watch it because it looks cool. There's actually like a viewpoint from each show. And yeah. Just get me more into it. And then you just said, like, your favorite person was Deadpool. Mine is actually Constantine. He's one of my favorite because of how different he is from the superhero mold. Because he's on, like, the darker side of things.
Yeah.
I like him. I like Deadpool. Like I'm veering towards, like, the... away from, like, the favorite crowd, like the more dark crowd, like, because of their backstory.
Like, yeah, like Spawn, I was a big fan of. That was one of my personal favorites. Constantine, I think, is also amazing. We good? Oh. Yeah, just use the mat. Sorry, business.
No, good.
you know, Constantine spawned Lady Death, Vampirella. You know, I loved Lady Death's storyline. Oh, fucking amazing. But those, yeah, I'm drawn to the darker side. I mean, like I said, I have a pentagram on my neck, so I'm definitely more into the cult vibe.
Yeah.
Outside of my other nerdiness, I do a lot of studies on theology. So I do tend to go to the darker side because it's a lot more interesting.
Oh, that's really cool. But I don't want to waste any more of your time because of your training and everything. And I know you don't get that much time to like relax, but I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I can't wait for everybody to watch this so they can get to know you a little bit more. So that when you come out there next month and you win, that you can have a little bit more of a crowd now.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. And thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. And thank you all for watching and listening.
Yeah, but thank you so much. You've gained a fan from me, and I'll be rooting for you next month.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, and you have a nice rest of your night.
All right, you too.
Yep, thank you. Once again, that was Jared Vanderay, heavyweight contender in the UFC. He'll be fighting Justin Taffa, like I said, next month on May 22nd. So give him a shout-out on Instagram and root for him in his matchup against Justin Taffa. I know I will. It's cool to find out the little facts about him, how he has a nerdy side to him, and then what he likes to study and how like he trains and then also trains and then coaches in the same gym. So once again, I am D Bake. You're the host of the Cage and IQ. You can follow us on all of our social media channels on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and then now Twitch right there below. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/CageMyIQ. So if you can subscribe to that, follow it every Monday at 8:30. And then if you can follow us on YouTube at CageMyIQ, subscribe to that channel. All of our content pops up on there. And then if you can also follow our affiliate, The Sports Box, you can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And subscribe to their YouTube page. They have over 10, 15 different podcasts. We have a great time from every sport. We have a show on every night. So check us out and look at all the content that we have. But once again, I would like to thank Jared Vanderay for coming on the podcast. And I am your host, D-Bake. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your night.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. On Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sports Box Show, Instagram at The Sports Box Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.